If Lovin' Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah,
that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want this
money! They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, and till then, it's half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie better mode than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Good to get large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Hello, Leroy.
What's up?
It's Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Hello, Brittany, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
We are streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel Miami 560 WQAM. I have to say, you know, they call me the creditor, okay? Old Tobes, he gives credit where credit's due. That's what I do.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, baseball. What? Hey, I am... So team swing off. That was
awesome.
The coolest ending ever. I was sitting here, and by the way, I was completely surprised. I had no idea that they changed the rules.
Nope.
I was sitting there, and I was like, because they had said, you know, they're down to their last pitcher. And I was like, I was like, are we about to have ourselves a Milwaukee situation? We're about to get another tie? Nope. Guess what, dude? Swing off. And I was like, oh, swing off? Really? And not only a swing off, but we got Kyle Stowers in the swing off. So we got to start off local. Now, he took a lot of pitches. But either way, the swing off, genius. For those who didn't see it yesterday, the National League, who has been getting boat raced in this All-Star game for as long as I can remember. They used to dominate it, but since I was a wee lad, it's been Team National League it's been Team American League forever. They were up 6-0. And I was like, I guess I'm done with the All-Star game for tonight. And then I just kind of wander back and I'm like, 6-4, eh? And so I start one, I'm like, oh, this is getting a little dicey. Oh, it's 6-5. Infield hit, it's 6-6. And they're like, and they're out of pitchers. And I'm like, oh no. They're like, no problem. We're going to have a resolution to this. Swing off. Three hitters from each team, three swings apiece. Most homers wins. I was like, I think I love this. And man, I loved it because Stowers goes out there. He goes has to go up against Rooker from the A's, who hits 2 out of 3. I was like, oof. And Kyle Stowers, they go to him. And I'm pretty sure Kyle Stowers was thinking to himself, me? Like, because Dave Roberts is like, I'm going with Kyle Stowers. And they go to Kyle Stowers. They're interviewing him before every one. And Kyle Stowers is like, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty nervous. And you could tell. Because it took him one, but finally hits a real piss whistle out of the park. Makes it 2-1. So we were within striking range, Leroy. A Rosarena gets up there. He doesn't do so good. He gets him one. Then Schwarber gets up there. 3-for-3. Because that's all that dude does is hit tater tots. And it was exhilarating. They go up there. I forget who dude from the Rays was. He hit none. But that was it. Polar Bear didn't even have to hit. Swing off was over. It was a treat. I love it. We need to do this instead of stupid Ghost Runner. Who needs Ghost Runner? Maybe like one extra inning. We go 9 innings, we play a regular 10th inning, and then swing off. Just like hockey. It's great. You go home satisfied, we figure this thing out. We play a little fake overtime, no winner, shootout.
Can I just say this? In all the years I've known you, this has been some of your most exciting moments here over this swing off.
I loved it. I loved it. Who doesn't love? Because look, forever and for always, baseball was stuck in its ways. And it took a long time. Now, I'd still like you guys to ease up on the steroid, guys. But I'll take baby steps for right now. They are doing a lot of stuff to fix the sport. Okay?
Right. Games are flat.
Games are flying these days. Not now, yesterday notwithstanding. That game took forever. But other than yesterday, because they had all these ceremonies and changes and, you know, they were miking up the players. So it was a made-for-TV night. But baseball is flying, okay? And yesterday, they did the second greatest thing. We saw this a little bit when we were gambling on spring training. Well, I was gambling on spring training. Leroy was judging me for gambling on spring training. Last night, they brought back the strike zone challenge, which now I also think I love because everybody can challenge. Pitcher can challenge. Catcher can challenge. Hitter can challenge.
So what's the penalty?
You're just wrong. I don't know. You just get
there
two.
There got to be a penalty.
You just get two.
So
it goes
no
fast.
Random.
Takes for it's just like tennis. Takes for, it. They're done in a second. Stowers did it last night. He was wrong. Still struck out. He went boop boop. Nope. Caught a little bit of that edge. Still a strike. You're out, Stowers. It was great. So we got robot umps. We got swing off. We got pitch clock. It's all happening for us, baby.
So, needless to say, you were pretty entertained.
I was very entertained. I was very entertained.
You almost went to bed, though.
It was 6-0. It was 6-0. I wandered back. I'm like, 6-4? What happened? Come back in because I was in my TV. I was watching in my living room, going to my office for a second, do a little typey type for us. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, back, I'm like, 6-4? Thought it was over, baby. Typically, All-Star games, they're over. Because you know why? Usually, you're bringing in, like, some pitcher that throws 200 miles an hour. They're not going to hit those guys. Which, by the way, I don't think I've ever seen as many 100-mile-an-hour pitches than I've ever seen in my life. Everybody's just throwing a hundy like it's nothing.
With movement.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how they're doing it. But they're all doing it. Like, I saw Chapman up there last night, who has to be, like, 45 years old at this point. And I was like, Chapman. Remember when Chapman throwing 100 was a gimmick? Like, they're like, you guys got to see this Chapman. He's throwing 100 every pitch. I'm like, what? That's crazy. Now everybody does it. It's like the gimmick's over. Everybody's. If you throw 96, you're a bum.
It's nothing like an 88 to 90 mile an hour slider.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Come on. Jeez. Oof.
It's insane. But, like, seriously. Why don't we bring swing off to the regular season? Who's going to be upset about this? Let's be honest about it. And somebody gets to go home satisfied. I remember having a conversation with Bob about this. I talked to Sergei Bobrovsky about the shootout because I was not a fan of the shootout. I'm like, don't you think it's kind of a stupid way to lose? You know, you have a great game and you lose on a one-on-one. And Bob's just like, you know, and you know Bob. He's as serious as it gets about his hockey. Won't even... like, barely looks at the Stanley Cup. This man, he goes, it just makes the fans happy. I'm like, if Bob can think that, then I can think it. Because he's the one who's losing on it. If it goes away, like, he's like, it makes the fans happy. I'm like, okay. If we're just sitting here, if I got Fish Royals coming up on Friday, should we play 18 innings? Should we put ghost runners? Or should we hit some bombskis?
It would make the game pretty exciting.
Of course it does. Who hates this? It was so much fun yesterday, and I will not hear anything otherwise. That's it. That was my night.
Wow.
That was my night.
Like a hell of a night.
That was my night. Swing off. You not in?
I'm in. I like it.
Brittany,
like
would you be into a swing off?
Yeah,
would this bring you to baseball?
I mean, I think it would. I watched the end of the game last night, and I thought it was very entertaining. So I would consider it, but you're going to have a lot of pushback from older fans on that one.
Who cares? They'll be gone soon.
Yeah. Oh. Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
They're all.
No. Brittany, I don't say that to, discourage people being old. I say that because this sport, especially baseball, has held on to these old ass rules and theories and whatever. Every other sport has moved forward with how they do things. Basketball with now the three-point shot. You either shoot a three or a layup. Nobody wants to see a mid-range, right? Football with the wide-open passing, the quarterback throwing for a million yards. So-called running back is you don't need one, right? They're all, like, trying to move forward with different ways to be productive. Baseball, up until maybe 10 years ago, wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah, no,
And guess what happened?
It was hard to
1500,
change.
1,500 in the stands.
Yeah.
Well, that was another strange thing yesterday. Where did everybody go? I was very confused by that, too. Did 6-0 just scare everybody off? Because it looked like by the end of that All-Star game, it looked like a Marlins game on a Wednesday. I was very confused by that. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, isn't this an expensive ticket? Like, don't you want to stick around a little bit? I'm guessing 6-0 scared everybody off. And they were just like, we saw the Hank Aaron tribute. We're out of here. See ya.
If I'm going to an All-Star game, final pitch.
I feel like it, right? Sticking around like for the whole thing.
Like, if I go to a Super Bowl, final clock hit zero.
Yeah, I was very confused by it. I was like, where is
even
everybody?
Even a blowout, if the Heat are in the finals and they're getting blown out and getting ready to lose the series, I'm not leaving.
Did everybody just come?
It's the finals.
Yeah, it's like, did everybody just come to say hi to Freddie Freeman? It's like, Freddie, you're back. All right, we can go now. I was like, where is everybody? They kept doing the aerial shots. Nobody was there.
My, because I'm getting ready for some morning golf.
When's that starting? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
On the Haishai Open?
Yep. First tee time is like 2.
Where's it on?
1:30 in the morning.
Where can I watch it?
Paramount, is it USA?
Wow. That should be our pick today. We should pick the winners.
Yeah. But you want to hear some crazy golf news?
I saw a headline on the bottom, I wanted your take on it, but let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Because I saw a headline. I was like, headlines always brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory, the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. We'll get to that story coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Got another pair of Counting Crows tickets to give away. They're bringing their Complete Suites tour to Hard Rock Live on July 22nd. Bless you. And we're giving you away those tickets to see them for your chance to win. Keep on listening to our show for details. We got Rats Off a Ship coming on later today. As this is, we got the ESPYs tonight. The end of that?
No.
Not enough Panthers representation on these categories for my liking, Leroy. They're only up for best team. That's it.
They'll win that easily.
I mean, they should. Back-to-back champs. You would think they should win that easily. I mean, who are they up against? They got
Eagles?
Got to be up against the Eagles. Let's see.
OKC?
They're up against the Dodgers, Liberty,
Dodgers,
Buckeyes, Thunder, Eagles, the Tar Heels of
Buckeyes,
NCAA women's lacrosse. Yeah, the Buckeyes for college football.
That's right. They did win a national championship.
I know you don't count it. You don't let them have that one.
Nope. We beat them.
U.S. women's national team for soccer and the UConn Lady Huskies for women's basketball.
But I'd say it'd have to be the Panthers back.
Only one back-to-back in there, dude. Only one back-to-back.
And the Stanley Cup's the hardest to win.
I was looking at, like, hey, who they got for best hockey player? And no Panthers. No, he's not even nominated. They have Drysdale up there. He's their nominee. I was like, what? No Sam Bennett? No Barkey? Ridiculous. So what's going on with this golf, dude? I saw something about like some equipment damage or something like that. Can you explain what the hell's going on here?
So it's a major championship at Oakmont, which is considered one of the hardest golf courses in the world. Right? So a lot of frustration or whatever. Wyndham Clark missed the cut. Wind in the locker room. Did some damage to one of the lockers. And left. Oakmont banned him from Oakmont.
For life?
Yes.
Really?
Unless he pays for the damage and goes to anger management. Now.
Wow.
Now, let me explain something to you. And it's easy for somebody from the outside looking in who doesn't really compete at anything. Right? It sucks the life out of you when you prepare and work for something and you're not even close. And sometimes how you're not even close is even more frustrating because it could be doing something that you don't normally do. It could be whatever the reasons. And it's frustrating, right? It's absolutely frustrating.
Sure.
So he's not the first person. We've turned on golf and they drop F-bombs after a bad shot. Slam clubs.
Seen him break a club. Go Happy
I've
Gilmore on him.
Break clubs. It's human nature, right? For us to just assume that this human should be different because of the job he has. And granted, it's considered a gentleman's sport. But you can turn on the TV on any Friday or any Sunday when they're trying to win the championship and somebody hits a bad shot and an F-bomb could possibly come out.
I mean, look, I do think it's fair for him to pay the damage.
Right, but I mean, you're standing on a soapbox of unrealistic proportion.
Right, but here's the thing. It's like, you know, when you talk about this with the whole, with the live thing, like they're not employees. So you are a guest at that club. So
no, you can't
Just go Tasmanian devil on their locker room and not expect to pay for it.
Granted, I mean, remember when, who was it? Amari Stoudemire?
Oh, yeah, he punched the fire extinguisher.
Punched the fire extinguisher, right? Would that be the equivalent of them saying, you're not welcome here until you take anger management and repair it?
Yeah, but it's a little different, I think, because they're employees. They're employees of the league. So there's an association. Like, I'm sure there's different. Now, he may get fined for it anyway.
He'll get fined, right.
There's probably a fine for damaging equipment. Like when I think Desmond the hell's his name? Dwayne Dedman. I think he got fined for throwing the massage gun under the court, which remains one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, that's basically, but that what that is that's under the category of throwing something onto the court.
According to the letter, a ban can be lifted if Clark pays for the damages, makes a meaningful, it's in quotes, meaningful contribution to a charity selected by Oakmont Country Club's board. Uh-oh. And undergoes counseling or anger management therapy.
That's a lot of stuff, right? So repair the damages, which I agree with. Donate money to a charity of Oakmont's choice.
Yeah.
And then take anger management classes. What's the next time that Turman's going to Oakmont?
I don't know. I was just about to ask you that. Like, how long until he needs to lift the ban?
Every 10 years.
Okay.
Sometimes if you're, you know, let's say, like, there's a rotation. Pebble Beach, Oakmont. You know, there's certain golf courses that always have the U.S. Open. It's been a while since Oakmont, I think 2007 or 2017. So it's been a while, but like, yeah, he should have some there should be some restitution. But asking, not only are you going to repair the damages, but you're going to donate money to the charity of our choice? Like, now you're just flexing, right? This is Oakmont, right? And so...
Well, I do... I mean, you're also talking about, like, a golf board. I picture that as being the most hoity-toity of all time. Like,
oh, yeah.
They talk like this, and Wyndham... And his name is Wyndham Clark. Like, how am I supposed to... Like, Wyndham, this is very unbecoming.
Yeah, but, and the funny thing about it is, he was kind of displaying some of that frustration before he got to the
So it was boiling.
Oh, my God. I think all he had to do was par the last hole to make the cut, and he wasn't even close. So, like, all that stuff kind of adds up, and then you talk about a major championship. Look, I'm not condoning what he did, right? But sometimes we need to – there's penalties for doing the things you do, but also understand the circumstances in which that is coming through.
Clark told reporters, I've had a lot of highs and lows in my career, especially – this year, some lows. I made a mistake that I deeply regret. I'm very sorry for what happened, but I'd also like to move on, not only for myself, but for Oakmont and for the USGA, and kind of focus the rest of my year on things that come up.
Yeah, that's, that, and how many weeks ago was that?
He said that at the Travelers Championship.
No, but I'm saying.
When this happened?
The golf tournament was Father's Day weekend. Was this June 26th?
Yeah.
It's 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I get it. Like, being an athlete, you understand the frustrations and how some of these things
take place. It also says at the PGA Championship in May, Clark threw his driver and damaged a sign near a tee box that featured one of his most prominent sponsors. Maybe he does need to calm down.
He does, but I've seen a player, and it's funny, what's his name? Woody, I can't think of his last name. He, in fact, was a golfer in Miami when they had a men's golf team. And he missed a putt, and he broke his putter over his head.
Jeez.
So, and this happens in all sports. You just assume if you put the work in that you're going to have success. And success is not guaranteed just because you put the work in. And I think a lot of people think, oh, if I do everything I'm supposed to do, that means I'm going to be successful. And that's not accurate at all. But it doesn't mean you stop the process. And it doesn't mean that it's not frustrating when you've put in all that work and you have nothing to show for it. And I understand that.
You ever see anybody in the locker room damage anything?
Yeah. Everywhere from helmet.
Do tell.
To chair. To each other.
Threw a chair or broke a chair? Like threw a chair at somebody?
No. I've seen guy go in the locker room, slam his helmet, helmet pieces everywhere. I've seen guys. Now, let me explain something to you. For reasons I can't explain, helmets are like basketballs. Very bouncy.
Oh, really?
I've seen guys throw helmets and it bounce back and hit them. And you're pissed off with them. But then you start kind of chuckling because, you know, he lost the anger battle. I've seen, and the thing is like, so I'll give you a perfect example. If I go into a game and I fumble at the end of the game, right? I'm livid, right? If I don't show the proper level of being pissed off, everybody thinks I don't care. Right? Think about that. So from a fan's perspective, if you're not showing that type of behavior, then fans think you don't care. And that's not even the facts of it at all either. I'm one of those people that, like, I've made mistakes during the course of a game. I know that. I've seen other guys make mistakes during the course of a game that were outside of their character. But then following it up with anger to your teammates, you need to focus on the rest of the game. So it's a crazy thing. Like, yeah, he wants to move on with it. I'm one of those people on the golf course. I like to let it out, right? Bad shot, let it out, and then be done. Move on, right? If I just try to be company guy, then I'm thinking about it all the time. So I might call myself a bleeping idiot. I might say that was stupid, and then I move on and concentrate on the next shot. You have to have that process in which you move forward, right? And I think he's trying to do that, but he got a little restitution to pay.
Dwayne Dedman was suspended one game for throwing the massage gun, which cost him $32,000.
Yeah, but keep in mind, he's throwing a projectile on, it would be the equivalent to somebody smashing their driver and the head popping off and hitting a fan.
Well, it didn't hit a fan, it went onto the court.
No, but I'm just saying, like, whether it does or not, it's deemed dangerous, and the league then has, and here's it, it's all for show, right? Because, yeah, it was tragic what Dwayne Dedman did. Nobody got hurt, right? But at the same time, the league has to show that it cares about those things to the fans. So everybody's putting on this show with how you respond to it, how you fine for it, how you penalize. So you're showing everybody.
Well, hey, you also just can't do it. Like you can't get enraged at your coach. You can't throw a massage gun onto the court. Yeah, and remember, everybody was confused because like it happened, and like
nobody
really
saw it.
And everybody was like, "Wait, something's on the court." Like the game just stops because like Jimmy Butler's like dribbling the ball up, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the court, there's a massage gun, and you're like, "Huh?" You could just see him. And the thing that's funny about it, well, not funny, it's scary. Yeah, he came close to hitting like four players with it. I'm watching it right now.
Right.
And the thing that's crazy about it is like you think Dwayne Dedman, you're like, eh, he was kind of a journeyman, whatever. But he's such a behemoth of a man. This is a 7'1" monster. So like if he just gets angry, throwing a little machine gun, like he throws it like it's a paper mache nothing. Because right. And like, whoop, just like little out of rage. Throws it back and it goes shh like a grenade because a giant is raging. He's a giant. Take a break. Back with more for this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. At the All-Star game last night, we are in the Deadsville. Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, still beefing. They need to just really? Fight, huh? You just need to have like an old man fight between both of them.
Who's older?
Oh, Kraft.
Robert Kraft.
Yeah, Kraft is like 84.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got Belichick.
I got Belichick, too.
I feel would like, pay money to see that.
I feel like Belichick can rumble a little bit still. You know.
He's not a fighter.
Well, you saw him get sucker punched one time, or accidentally sucker punched.
Yeah.
That wasn't good for him.
Nope.
It wasn't good for him. But yeah, they're still beefing. Apparently, Kraft went on the Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman podcast, which sounds very mature. And he was implying that he took a big risk on hiring Bill Belichick. And, you know, these guys have already, like, it's already been beef between both of them. Basically saying, remember they did that whole documentary and Kraft was like.
Yeah, but why you say, how do you say after 6 championships you took a risk? We're past that.
Belichick.
Right? Like, it's crazy to say, oh, you took a risk on a coach that won 6 Super Bowls. Like, yeah, I'd love to take that risk.
He says, Belichick told ESPN in response to questions, he says, as I told Robert Kraft multiple times through the years, I took a big risk by taking the New England Patriots head coaching job. I had already had a coaching opportunity with the New York Jets, but the ownership situation was unstable. Well, some things don't change. Belichick says he was urged by scores of people to reject Kraft's offer and remain with the Jets, who had just hired him despite the instability. I had been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches as well as other members of other NFL organizations and media that the New England job was going to come with many internal obstacles. I made it clear that we would have to change the way the team was managed to regain previously attained success. It really drives me nuts that the Miami Dolphins couldn't get out of their own way and that this whole dynasty is fighting with each other still over being one of the most successful football teams of all time. And nobody can seem to just agree upon, hey, we all kind of did a good job.
Right.
Everybody's sitting here just being like, they didn't like you. No, I didn't like you and I took a risk. You guys sat here. You want to know something, Patriots? You bastards don't know real problems, okay? You don't know what real problems are as a football team. Do you know how crazy it is for all of us down here to sit back and watch you rat bastards sit here and quibble about credit over 6 Super Bowls? Do you know how insane you sound? Not a playoff win in 25 years! And I don't hear this much bickering.
Let's think of it this way. If we're going to do the risk assessment, right? Who took more of a risk with their success? Kraft hiring Belichick or Belichick bringing in Brady and staying with Brady instead of who's the quarterback?
Drew Bledsoe. Yeah,
Took a bigger risk?
It was risky, but you want to know something?
It worked out.
It worked out. Who cares?
But guess what? Bill Belichick isn't saying I took a big risk by putting Tom Brady in there.
Are you kidding me? Like, you want to know something? I'm sick of hearing Nick Saban talk about, Drew Brees. But you want to know something? At least he's covering his ass for looking like a horse's ass. He's not trying to retroactively get more credit. Let me ask you something. You guys want more credit? This is what you got an organization that's worth a gazillion dollars for Robert Kraft. Poor you. You got Bill Belichick, who's widely regarded as the greatest coach of all time. Except for Don Shula. Greatest coach of all time. Or you just were with a 24-year-old squeeze. The greatest coach of all time. There is nowhere to hire to get. Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady, who won then another Super Bowl and is regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's still not enough for you, 3 jackals?
Yep.
It's not enough? Like, it's kind of like the Michael Jordan thing with The Last Dance, where I was like, MJ, you need to hose down your teammates too? It's not enough that everybody already kisses your ass? Like, this is so stupid. And we have heard about this. And it's not even like this broke up early. Okay, Brady went and won one more Super Bowl. He was 45. It's crazy that he won a Super Bowl. I'm so sick of these guys. I deserve the credit for the 6 titles. Take your rings and shut the hell up. We haven't won in 25 years a round. This is crazy. Just like every year, there's a new beef between these dumbasses. Meanwhile, you all were cheating. You're deflating footballs. You're spying on people. Something was going on in Jupiter, a little too happy with an ending. And I gotta sit here. You took a big risk. You took a big risk. Who cares? Robert Kraft, you're 84. Bill Belichick, you're 70. I don't know. with a beauty queen who's taking over your empire. Ugh, you deserve more credit. You're doing fine. You're running a frat house at UNC. I think life's going okay for you. I took a big risk because I could have had the Jets job. And let me just say, Belichick, just if you want to get into arguments, because I knew you're new to the hot take thing, never use "I could have gone to the Jets" as a defense. It's just not smart.
Plus, wasn't he the coach in waiting?
Yes. And then he quit on a napkin.
No, but I'm just saying, when he went to New England, he was also always supposed to follow Tuna, right? So he ended up going there for what? How long was he there before he became the head coach?
I don't know. You know what? I don't care.
I know.
This is the thing. I don't care, Leroy. He took a risk. We took a big risk hiring him. Did you? What were you before him? Nobody. You guys were both losers. Well, Belichick won as an offensive coordinator. But like, enough. How much winning do you have to do before you also need the credit? Who hasn't been giving these guys credit? You know who's never looking for credit? Gronk. Just sitting there, making jokey jokes. Never looking for credit. Doesn't care. Living his life. You want to know what he is? Happy. A happy idiot. You want problems? Like, Stephen Ross flying across the country with a GM and then having to give an "I'm sorry" extension. That's a problem. You got, you know, a scandal getting swallowed up by Bullygate. Okay, we're going to go back 20 years and we're going to talk about blame. That's what you talk about blame over. Who deserves more credit for the 6 championships? Got your answer. It's the quarterback. You 2 old men, shut up. It was the quarterback and the cheating. Just every year. More infighting on the Patriots dynasty. Oh, poor Patriots.
You with somebody long enough, it's never going to be cheese and wine all the time.
I know, but like, you know what? I would understand it if it was a relationship that was dysfunctional but not successful. Then throw some stones. But until then, count the diamonds on all of your championship rings and shut up. You're so old, both of you. You guys should be so proud of what you did. I took a big risk. No, I took a big risk. It worked out, didn't it? Literally couldn't work out better for you two. I get it. Wasn't a great relationship at the end. You very clearly didn't like each other. Jesus. Anyway, July. Take a break. Hour 2 is next.